Everybody, welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week, and it's a week with one tournament that we have to talk about all week. It's not a major championship week, but it's the closest thing that we have to that, just short of that, and that is the Players' Championship. I'm Ryan Balogie. Thanks for being here. We're going to do three shows this week, but we're really going to have two major ones, right? We're going to do our first looks, first lines. For today, we'll look at the opening lines for the Players' Championship. We'll go over the tournament a little bit. We'll go over the golf course a little bit more than we typically might. Then tomorrow, we're going to talk about the model. We'll talk about current form. We'll talk about horses for courses. We'll talk about the concept of fit at TPC Sawgrass, although, spoiler alert, there's not a fit. It's just you're good or you're not. And then on Wednesday, we'll probably try to tie up some loose ends. Maybe we'll get into some derivative plays, which we usually don't do on this show. Top 10s, 20s, 40s. Maybe make-miss cut. Maybe we'll talk about first-round leader type stuff. There's going to be some kind of void to fill on Wednesday because there is no other action to talk about. And one thing I have noticed, and I am a data guy, as you might imagine. I do a show like this, right? And run a website, run a media company. And I look at the analytics and I try to get a sense of what works, right? What content works, what people listen to, why they care about it, what they're reading, why they care about it, where they come from, how long, you know, all those types of things. So I was looking at the data around the Wednesday show. And the Wednesday show is kind of the catch-all for all the other tours that we talk about. And it is by far the worst listened to show of the week in terms of attention paid to it. That doesn't mean that you guys don't listen to it or aren't interested in it. It's just not nearly with the same veracity as the other two shows of the week. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to do about that. And I'm open to your feedback about that. I do want to talk about the other tours. I want to talk about the LPGA and LIV and the DP World Tour and sometimes the Champions Tour and sometimes the Corn Ferry Tour. But more often than not, you guys kind of seem to tune that out. And that's kind of representative of the betting market, right? That's not a thing against you or me. The reality is fewer people bet on those tours compared to the PGA Tour. So if you're listening to the show, odds are you're a PGA Tour fan. So it might be more worthwhile to come up with kind of a drive-by version of those picks, you know, a five-minute show, less than 10 minutes about that, but then spend some time otherwise talking about something about this week's PGA Tour event. So maybe the second half of the Wednesday show is kind of here are the picks for the other tours for the week and here's why I care about them very briefly, as opposed to spending a whole 20-minute show on them and trying to draw it out a little bit. So I think that's what we're going to do in future, but we don't have that problem this week. We have a different problem. We don't have anything else to talk about on Wednesday, other tours-wise, but we could talk about this tournament, so we will. So a little bit of a recap on the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I think some things to take away from it. First of all, we had our first winner on the PGA Tour this year that was under 40-1. 40-1. That's insane. This is the first time since 2009, that the world number one won at Bay Hill. Also crazy. And I think watching Scottie Scheffler demolish the field on Sunday is a window into how good he can be. And when he was having his run in 2022, how good he was. But also some insight into how hard it is to win. Because Scottie Scheffler is far and away the best ball striker in the world. Tee to green, it's not even close. I mean, he's just killing fields left, right, and center. And you see that in tournament after tournament after tournament. However, when you can't make those putts, and I don't mean like 7 and 8 footers, I mean 10, 15, 20 footers here and there that are momentum putts, it's really hard to win. The margin is too fine. And for Scheffler, the difference for him between winning by a lot, just winning by maybe one or two, which is still a big deal, or not winning at all, but still finishing the way that he does, top 15, top 10, top 5 all the time. The difference is the flat stick. And that is going to be the course of his career. That's pretty much how all of the best players in the world function. It is very rare, maybe back to the Luke Donald era when he was number one, when you have a player that could kind of lead with their short game and figure out a way to win otherwise with good ball striking, good enough ball striking. That's not the way that it is now. And it's not the way that it's been for a dozen years. The best players in the world, the ones that are the most consistent, are the ones that hit the crap out of the ball, hit it relatively straight, hit a fair number of fairways, and are pretty good short iron and wedge players. And that is the secret to success. And if you can hit a good long iron every now and then, or mid iron into a par five, make a two-putt birdie, continue the momentum of your round, that's really critical too. This is Scottie Scheffler. He hits a 320, 350, 360 off the tee. All those eye-popping numbers are there. In terms of strokes gained off the tee for the week, he was number one. Not even close. He was 12th in the approach, which part of that is a function of hitting it so far off the tee. If you hit it so far and straight off the tee, then you don't gain as many strokes when you hit it close with a wedge in hand, because you're supposed to. Not that close, not like Scotty close, but you know, you're beating the field average with a wedge in your hand, but that's still not the same kind of way of gaining strokes. He was number one around the greens, which we talked about this a little bit, that Bay Hill is the kind of course that somewhat diminishes the skill of chipping and putting. I'm not saying Scottie Scheffler is a bad chipper, but it diminishes it a little bit because the lettuce is so thick. It is really hard to get up and down. So it kind of brings everyone down a little bit. Imagination isn't quite the same thing. That's not taking anything away from what he did. Just saying it's a little bit different. And then the putting. Fifth for the week. And on surfaces that are extremely slick, very fast, hard to read. Because, and Jordan Spieth really gave some great insight on the Happy Hour Friday telecast with Smiley Kaufman, which I really like. And I think you should, if you're a golf bettor, you should watch and listen to that, because you're going to get insight from players about how golf is played in a way you won't get from, definitely from me or anyone who talks about sports betting for their podcast. And Spieth talked about how confusing the greens can be because they're very slick. They're not easy to sole your putter. And that does happen on Bermuda a lot, especially when they're really slick and shiny. It's really hard to keep your putter on the turf, because it wants to move. So you think, oh my God, this thing's got to be rolling a 16 or 17. And then you hit the putt and it's like a 13, maybe a 12. And it's very confusing. And you got to get used to that. And Scheffler did by the end. So this is the glimpse into the future of what could be. We could be setting ourselves up for a run where Scottie Scheffler wins six times this year, if he plays like this. But what you don't know, and this is why you bet on tournaments, why you get great prices, is you don't know how long this is going to last. Will he continue to putt well for the rest of his life? Absolutely not. Will he putt well this week? Maybe. I don't know. It could go, as I tweeted, it could go poof today, tomorrow, 6 months from now. And if it's more 6 months from now, he's going to win probably multiple majors this year. If it's tomorrow, you know, if it's next week, he's probably not going to win as much as this win might tell you he would. So that's what we've got to figure out here. That's our entire approach to Scottie Scheffler, is can he putt well enough to win? You know everything else is going to be there. With Rory McIlroy, it's different. He's great off the tee. Number one off the tee on the PGA Tour this season. His approach play is awful. It is truly awful. Putting, not good. Chipping, whatever. But that is his hang-up. That is why he is struggling at the moment. And he shows glimpses like he did on Saturday when he puts it together. Man, that's hard to beat. But he didn't do it on Sunday. And that's the kind of fleeting nature of the game for him. So this week, that transitions to TPC Sawgrass. This is a golf course that demands a lot of players. I've been fortunate enough to be at this tournament probably five times over the years, four or five times. I don't remember anymore. And at different points in its history, from 2003 was my first one, back when they had it in March, and Davis Love won by a zillion with a 64 final round. I've seen it in May. I've seen it back in March. I've seen it lots of different times. And I really like the golf course because it's awkward for everybody. It asks every question. It doesn't ask just one. It wants Pete Dye designed the golf course so that you had to do everything right to win. You had to be able to work the ball both ways. You had to be able to hit it high, hit it low, be comfortable with claustrophobic areas, be able to hit small targets, be able to hit precisely to where you want, play with confidence, at times to belt out the power that hit it as hard as you can and do it with confidence. Lots of touch shots, lots of long shots. Every club in the bag is going to get used. It is a great, great, great golf course. And it truly does favor nobody. There is no true statistical advantage to any one player on this golf course. Anyone can contend here and anyone can fail here. And the truth of the matter is, you need a game plan and you need to execute the game plan based on what you can do. And sometimes your game plan is, or your style is incompatible with the game plan that you need. And those players typically tend to fail. Xander Schauffele comes to mind. Jordan Spieth, after that initial run where Marty Keimer won in 2014, where it looked like Spieth had it. Ever since then, he's kind of been junky in this tournament. But if you look at the winners of this tournament the last four times it was played, you got Scheffler defending now, you've got Cam Smith, you've got Rory McIlroy, and you've got Justin Thomas. I mean, four great, great winners of this tournament. And in 2020, they obviously didn't finish the tournament because that was when the world fell apart. But Hideki Matsuyama is technically your 2020, not Masters, 2020 Players Championship winner. He shot 63 to open the tournament. So, even then, what do all those guys have in common? They were great, one of the best players in the world at the time. And that is a run for this tournament it really has never had. I mean, maybe at the beginning when Nicklaus won three, like first six before it went to Sawgrass. But since then, you've had a lot of great players, and you've also had a lot of players that, not that they weren't as great, they never wound up winning a major. Yeah. Or if they did, they won one major, weren't major, multiple time major champions. That doesn't diminish the value of the tournament. It just means it's really hard to win. And the run that they're on right now probably belies the reality of this golf tournament. That you're going to think about, oh, well, Scottie Scheffler just won at 6.5 to 1. So you got to start thinking shorter. But if you look at the arc of the season and the arc of this tournament's history, that's not the reality. So let's go down the board a little bit. We'll talk about some guys here and then just some first thoughts on what to like this week. Scheffler's 5.5 to 1. That's unbettable for me. I just out of principle, I refuse to bet anyone shorter than 10 or 12 to 1, even if that's a decent play. Because I play four, five, six guys when I play, usually. Which means if I bet Scheffler at 6.5 to 1, and I don't bet everyone the same amount of money, but I probably barely come out ahead at the end of it. And yeah, I mean, that's technically a win, but not much of a fun one. So I kind of leave that one alone. I would wait for him in play. Maybe he has a crummy first nine holes. Depending on the draw, maybe he's in the afternoon with a crummy first nine holes and he's fairly well back of the lead. And you go, oh, well, he's got time. But maybe there's something there that's prohibiting him from scoring well. Maybe then you go after him if you think there's a reason to get in the 7.5, 9 to 1 range. Rory McIlroy's 12 to 1. I think he's unbettable because his approach play is just so bad. It's not good right now. And you need that on this golf course. Justin Thomas at 20 to 1 is probably going to be a bet for me. I feel like he's almost under the radar now. He's T12 at Bay Hill, continues to play well. He's heading in the right direction, and it seems like no one wants to acknowledge that. He's won here before. The other thing to throw out as a caveat, no one's ever successfully defended this title. This is the 50th Players. No one's ever successfully defended it. So if you want to bet Scheffler, knowing 50 years of history are working against you, okay, have at it. Xander Schauffele's 20 to 1. I'm going to avoid him. He does not play well on this golf course. Just doesn't suit his eye. Victor Hovland, 22 to 1. Coaching change. Everything looks out of whack. I'm staying away, even though he has a good track record on this golf course. Relatively good. Had a chance to win 2 years ago and didn't do it because of chipping and putting. But right now, it just feels like everything's a little out of whack. Patrick Cantlay's 25 to 1. But I'm not going to bet him. I would rather look at Max Homa or Will Zalatoris at 25 to 1. Max playing well again, played well last week. Will Zalatoris is playing well, played well last week. Both those guys have kind of come around into form pretty nicely. They're both the kind of guy that could win this tournament pretty handily. I like Homa a little bit more because I feel like Zalatoris' putting is a pumpkin that's going to turn back, or carriage is going to turn back into a pumpkin eventually. The way he souls the putter, it's borderline technically illegal, technically against the rules of golf. If that ever gets inquired, it's a problem. We talked about that last week. Said, hey, when that happens, it's going to be bad. But for now, it's good. So 25-1, we'll live with that. Colin Morikawa, 28-1, pass. Jordan Spieth, 30-1, pass. Hideki Matsuyama, 30-1. I could be invested in that pretty heavily. Ludvig Åberg, 30-1. I think I'm going to stay away from him because he really doesn't have much experience here, right? I mean, this is an experienced tournament. And I think it's going to be a frustrating one for him. The only caveat to all this is that he won RSM on a golf course kind of claustrophobic like this one in some ways. Not as claustrophobic at Sea Island, but kind of. So I could see him doing well here. I don't like that positioning for him. Shane Lowry and Wyndham Clark are both 35-1. I really like Shane Lowry. He's played well here in the past, has a couple of top 15s the last 5 years. He's playing well at the moment, took full advantage of the sponsor exemption he never should have gotten into the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I mean, not that he wasn't deserving, but there should be sponsor exemptions into signature events. But he took advantage. He's been in contention on Sunday 2 weeks in a row. So he's there, he's comfortable with it, playing well. I like him. Wyndham Clark, I'm very curious where his headspace will be after being accused of being a cheater, and I think he did break the rules on Saturday at API and then kind of having that little like hissy fit with the chip shot. He seems kind of fragile. And when he's really confident, he's really hard to beat. And he played very, very well at API. But then just kind of peeled back a couple layers, like, whoa, don't want any part of that. So part of me thinks he could do this if he can just hold it together long enough. But he's almost got to do it from a dominating position. I don't know that he can do it. Maybe you come from behind, but if you're kind of one or two back, I think it's a fall apart situation. So I think he's worth betting, but I'm not in love with it. Sam Burns, Russell Henley, Tommy Fleetwood. Tommy Fleetwood does have a good track record here, 40-1. I've just seen so little of Fleetwood this year that I don't really know what to do with him. I don't like that price given what I don't know about him. Cam Young, 45-1. Nope. I'm not doing the first time winner thing here. Siwoo Kim has won here. He's 45-1. Jason Day played one of the best tournaments you've ever seen, the most difficult conditions here to win back when it was in May. It was 2017, I think. Played a great tournament. I do like him. Don't love him. Brian Harman, I do kind of love. Has two top 15 finishes at this tournament. Likes the tougher golf courses, likes the tougher fields. His ball flight can work here. I really like his chances at 50-1. Sahith Theegala, same thing. Playing great golf, almost under the radar now. 50-1, I think, is worth a look, worth a bet. Minwoo Lee had a great finish here last year, I believe sixth place last year. I don't think that was a fluke finish at all. I mean, it made his career, made a big step for him in his career. But I think I would only like it if the weather kind of turns a little bit. I think he's not quite up to his level right now. Tom Hoagie, 55-1. Intrigues me. Played what we told you, he played well at API. He played well at API. Bet on is kind of interesting. If 55-1 as well, same price as Tom Hoagie. Another good week for Bet on. He's been playing good golf. He T8, one of the few players to shoot in the 60s on Sunday at Bay Hill. There were four. He shot 68. Nice comeback from a 76. If he were anywhere near even par on Saturday, which was a tough round, he's in the top three. So playing good golf, really overall this season. Probably should have won the Sony, didn't wind up, or at least extended the playoff, didn't do that. He has the capacity to win. Again, 55 is such a hard price for a guy who has hoisted so few trophies between all the tours in his career. But he is playing elite level golf. Corey Connors, a lot of people liked. and he played well last week. That's fine. Tony Finau's back after not playing the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I don't know what happened that he didn't play. A lot of people were weirded out by that, but I think that's okay. Tom Kim 70-1, Sungjae 75-1. He was T18 last week. I mean, if he had a decent final round, he's probably in the top 10. He shot 74 in the final round. I can work with that. He would be the kind of guy that would win here. And Sungjae at 75 just feels like it's kind of almost a principal play. By the way, Matty Schmidt, who was a principal play a couple weeks ago at 350-1, almost got the job done in Puerto Rico. And Ryan Fox did pretty well as a principal play a few weeks ago until he kind of stumbled on the weekend at the Cognizant. But he maybe has snapped out of something here, Sungjae. He's had two T66 finishes on the button this year. Missed cuts at PJ National and Torrey. T44 at Riv. So maybe he has played his way out of something here. I don't know, but I think that's worth a look at 75-1. Keith Mitchell, 80-1, I like quite a bit. Keegan Bradley had a pretty good week last week, 80-1. I think Nick Taylor's a better play again at 90-1. I had him at 150-1 last week at Bay Hill. And if Saturday doesn't get him, has a chance. I don't think he win. The way Scotty played, he was going to win. But he would have had a better chance. So I like Nick Taylor there at 90. Justin Rose is actually playing. He has a good history here. Let's put it that way. He has a good history on this golf course. You know, his current form is not the best. He missed the cut at the API, which, I mean, you got to do something special to miss the cut when 58 players out of 69 make it. T64 at PGA National, but was good at Pebble, but otherwise not so good. So I think I'll pass there. Adam Hadwin's kind of interesting to me, playing pretty well. Doug Gim, same thing. He has a decent track record on the golf course. 11, both of them are 100-1. Getting a little bit deeper here. Matthew Pavon's kind of interesting to me at 130. It's kind of hard to get behind a guy who doesn't really know this golf course, though, at all. I think that's enough. Yeah, that's enough for maybe a Kurt Kitayama kind of thing. Maybe because of his ball striking ability. If he puts it together, he could be your like mega long shot guy. He missed the cut at the API, which was not good, but T39 at Riv, T8 in Phoenix, T39 at Pebble, T24 in Hawaii. It's not horrible, it's not great, but that's too deep for a guy that's won on the PGA Tour and won against a really deep field. That may be the true principal play of the week at 250-1. After that, I'm not willing to go much deeper than that. You know, you got all kinds of different interesting players in this field, but I'm not going to touch any of them. It's just not worth it. This golf course is too exacting. I think if you're going to try to find a player to search for super deep, and we'll check this out after the model tomorrow, but I think your best lesson there, or your best guiding star or whatever, is go find players who are playing great on the approach and surround themselves, you know, not terrible off the tee. They could find the putter for a week. I can live with that. But at least tee to green, you got to be pretty decent on the approach, especially. And if you can find that player in their 250, 300-1, kind of like a Kurt Kitayama, okay, that could be your long shot of the week. But I would otherwise not take too many chances here. This is a golf course where, again, less four winners and the guy who won by default because of COVID. They're incredible ball strikers. Cam Smith was not the best driver of the golf ball. A great iron player. Great short game. But Justin Thomas has got a good short game, not the best. Good wedge player, but a great ball striker. Rory, great ball striker. Scotty, great ball striker. There's your guiding light if you want someone to kind of chase as a super deep shot this week. But I think if you go much longer than 100, you're kind of running the fool's errand. So don't do that to yourself. I bet Nick Taylor twice, once pre-tournament and once during. And he was 150 pre, 100 before, and at one point he was 28-1 to win. You know, if you kind of catch it early, you can still get good value and get maybe at least some kind of confirmation that they're playing okay before the odds change. So be careful. Just be careful this week. Be careful with every major week. But this tournament is really hard to predict, and I've said that for years. It is extremely hard to predict. But the recent trends tell you that the most predictable outcome is the most likely. So use that as your theory of the case. Maybe have one long shot and then find some guys in that 20, 40, to no more than 75 or 90 range and stack in your 20s and 30s and just kind of hope that all kind of works out for you this week. The most predictive tournament is the Masters. And I know that's weird to say, but we'll have it down to 15 guys by the time we get there. And one of those guys is going to win. And it'll be really easy. So let's kind of save some bankroll, perhaps. Maybe get a good hit this week. But, you know, don't go hog wild on this tournament. We're just a month away from the best one to make the most money. So let's go after that one. Let's think about that one. But we'll have some fun this week. Tomorrow we'll go over the model. We'll go over current form. Again, there's not really a fit, but we'll talk about what works here. And then on Wednesday, we'll probably do derivative plays. We'll probably do 5s, 10s, 20s, 40s, winning margin, all that good stuff. And get a little bit more in the weeds on some things than maybe we normally do. Again, welcome your feedback about the show. Things you want to see here, talk about, I'm happy to oblige. Email me, Ryan @thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. I'm on YouTube and Facebook at Ryan Ballingy Golf. And Golf News Net's on all of those services at Golf News Net. You can join Golf News Net for $40 a year. It's a great week to start. You can do it for $10 for the week if you would like to do that kind of thing. But $40 for the year gets you everything we do for $40 from the calendar, 365.25 days from when you start. So check that out at golfnewsnet.com. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. Thanks so much for your time, and we will catch you tomorrow on The Press.